Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. Charles Swindoll. Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., coming at you live from the great state of Florida, the city of Fort Lauderdale, and I have a great show planned for you tonight. Coming up a little bit later, you are going to hear from the Call That Girl, President, CEO, Outlook expert, Lisa Hendrickson. She is now a Florida woman once again, so we'll probably talk a little bit about that. And we're going to have, of course, our news stories, probably have some good Florida man stories, but you probably don't want to hear about that. You want to hear about tech, because Podnuts Pro is your podcast for business IT support, where we talk about products, we share stories and tips, all in an effort to help you run your business better, smarter, and faster. We are here Wednesdays at 8 p.m., and we stream live to YouTube and the Facebook. If you are listening to this by audio, you can catch us on Wednesdays by going to one of those two places and catching the stream. You may want to sign up, and I believe the term has changed. You don't subscribe anymore to podcasts. You follow. So you follow us on YouTube or the Facebook. You can also go to podnutspro.com. And you will see where you can follow from any of your favorite podcatchers, Apple, Google, Spotify. We're on just about all of them. I'm working to get on more. So if we're not on your favorite podcatcher, please email the show and let me know, and we will do the best that we can. Before we get into the show tonight, I want to acknowledge a couple of things. First, I want to say thank you to all the people that emailed or commented by direct message from the show that I did with Ron and Matt, where we talked about Synology. Apparently, we hit a topic that people loved. I got a bunch of great comments about that. I got some tips about some of the apps that are in there. So much so that we are probably going to do an entire show dedicated to Synology, and that is going to be an introduction into something that I'm calling this summer the Summer Tech Series. So June, July, and August, we are going to do our very best to not have any vendors, any direct salespeople, any marketing people. We are going to have only techs, and we're going to talk about the tools and the tips that we can use in our business, and we'll get to learn about some of the things that are helping people make lots of money, make their business better. So that is going to be all summer long, June, July, and August. But first, we are going to finish out May, and I've got a couple of great things. Datto is going to be here next week, and we have a surprise that is going to show up at the end of the month. I'm going to tease you on that one because I don't want to jinx it, and I want to make sure that it happens, and all of that is going to be happening. So that was the first thank you to the people that sent me all of the emails and comments about the Synology. I also need to give a shout out to our good friend, Adam Carpenter. Adam reached out for a little bit of help last week and some configuration stuff that we had to do with SonicWall. I gave him that help, and he asked me how much the bill was. And I said, no bill, just go to podnutspro.com and donate there. And he did. And I want to thank you for that, Adam. If any of you want to donate, be sure to head over to podnutspro.com. You can do a direct donation there. You can also go to the Amazon store by clicking my link. Anything that you purchase during your session there, same price to you. A little bit of commission comes back to the show. But I do want to say thank you. And I actually have had some people go there, and I appreciate it very, very much. All right, let's go ahead and bring our guest on this evening, because I'm sure there are a lot of you waiting to hear from her. You're probably waiting to see what type of a train wreck we are going to have this evening. But Lisa Hendrickson from Call That Girl, how are you?
Good. A train wreck. You're right on that one.
I call it like I see it. You are, I'm not saying you are the train wreck, but I'm saying that, you know, the topics could go awry as we have a conversation this evening. So how have you been?
Yeah. We're doing pretty good. I'm kind of getting back in the saddle with podcasting and YouTubes again. And
yeah, I saw that you were starting that up again.
Took a long 2-year break.
Okay. You didn't really take a break. You snuck back into Florida like an illegal immigrant under the radar, not letting anybody know.
Yeah, third time. This move was kind of interesting because, you know, I tried the Keys and then I did Pensacola and that failed.
Okay, yeah. So from one end of the state at the very bottom all the way up to the top.
Yeah, and you know what I found is the Pensacola is actually the panhandle. It's not like Florida palm trees life.
Well, no, it's South Alabama.
It was. I loved it, though. Oh, did I love Pensacola? I did, but I just, after a winter of being cold, I was like, I might as well go home. So I went home. I didn't really share it too much with anybody. And then within like 5 months of being home, I was like, I already want a Florida house. I knew I wanted a Florida house, but I had to pick the right place this time because the Keys were very expensive. Wasn't going to do the panhandle. So I actually wound up in Fort Myers and I bought a home in a manufactured park of other homes like mine. I don't know what it's called. It's not a trailer court, but I guess you could call it one. But it's a really nice one. I love it.
I'm not going to say that because you and Mike Smith share the same type of deal. Mike has one of those types of homes as well.
Yeah, and, well,
aren't
cheap.
Well, they're not your redneck trailer either. So
no, it's actually like what I would call like a little. It's 1,400 units here, and it's everybody has decorated lawns, and I have a golf cart, and I have golf cart life, and you know the reason why I wanted it was the pools. I wanted to swim all year round, and I have arthritis in my leg, and I needed to exercise, so that brought me down here. And then I moved here 2 months before COVID, so I really was just, like, not expecting that. And so I couldn't swim for 2 months, and I got to tell you, I was pretty bummed. But anyway, so, yeah, I've been down here for a year and 5 months now, and I kind of stayed off the grid with doing podcasts and videos and had a lot going on with the COVID. You know, I never got it, thank God. But well, you know what?
What?
I've social distanced for 7 years anyway, so I was kind of born for that, you know?
Yeah, you're not one of those public crowd type of people. Not at the club, are you?
Nope. I barely go out drinking. In fact, I actually stopped almost all drinking during the pandemic.
Really? Didn't like drinking alone, huh?
No, I love drinking alone. I actually had a little scare, and I went to the ER for something else. And afterwards, I said, I'm done. I just stopped.
All right. So over in Fort Myers, so as you know, our good friend John Dubinsky relocated from Michigan down to Florida. So I don't know. I'm not going to try to embarrass either of you by saying where you are, but he is in that area. There's actually somebody in the chat that is saying John Reed is in Fort Myers every Tuesday.
Well, I found hey, John, and I actually have some clients with John, and I found another person here in Fort Myers. So maybe we should have a little meetup.
There are a lot of people over there. I have a couple of other techs that I have used that are over there in Fort Myers, Charlotte. Just a little north of you, and of course Naples, which is a little south of you. So we are over there all the time. I had a client that was in Sarasota, so I would go over there on my way up to Tampa and St. Pete. And Steve Cherubino is up in that area as well. So yeah, the west coast of Florida is hopping.
Yeah, and I think I know another tech up in Clearwater, and I think Steve's up there too. Maybe around there.
Yep,
I love it down here. I got to tell you that. when everybody's like, where are you moving next? I go, I don't think I'm moving. I think I'm home. I love my house. I love my little life. I have, you know, making friends here, and it's kind of hard to make friends. So especially during COVID, like everything shut down for like a couple months. And then when things start opening, you know, it was still like some events were still canceled, like the chamber, all canceled.
Yeah.
Still. So I'm signing up to be a volunteer for the sheriff's department.
What?
I figure, yeah.
Who are you? Stevenson Seagal? You're going to go out there and try to patrol the streets?
No, actually, I just wanted to get involved with community events so I could get out and meet people, you know? It was a thought. I was like, well, I looked on their Facebook page and I always see them doing stuff. And I was like, well, maybe if I go volunteer, I can meet people.
All right. That sounds like an episode of Ride Along is in your future.
Right.
Too bad they stopped filming live PD, or else you could be on that too.
Right. Well, when I applied, they were like, you know, we really could use someone like you. And I think they're hoping because I'm a tech, you know.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Lisa, before we get too far into the show, I want to make sure that we get our news segment out of the way and get you set up for your Florida man story. So with that, we are going to go in the news. So first, according to a report from The Intercept, one of the largest law enforcement agencies in the U.S., Lisa, the Customs and Border Protection has now found a convenient backdoor to siphon off much of the information from the fortress of your smartphone via your car. Even though your car tries to keep you physically safe with airbags and ABS and seatbelts, it's shockingly inept when it comes to keeping your data safe from the prying eyes of police agencies. So, maybe that's why they want you, Lise. We need a tech to help them break into cars.
It goes spying on people.
Yeah. And of course, I preface this by the promo that Microsoft is changing the default font for Microsoft that it has had for over a decade. It is time to say goodbye to Calibri or whatever it is. And there are several new names that are coming to mind, but Bierstadt, Grandview, Seafood, Skeena, Tenorite. I don't know. They don't know which one it is, but of course I thought, why in the world are they saying that that is a major, major story?
Well, you know what? I use the, I know how to say it. UI 12.
Okay.
And I actually get annoyed when people email me with other fonts, so I change it back to my font.
Yeah.
Every reply to try to get them to learn. My font is the best font. Best to read, best in size, looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And in Port St. Lucie, police are looking for a man who busted out some dance moves after pawning stolen jewelry. While the man will never be mistaken for Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, or even Michael Jackson, he has gained a following. The dancer was identified by police as Sean Gazzo, age 31, and I do not have the rights to the video or else I would post it, but basically he is outside the pawn shop in the parking lot. He had just pawned several pieces of jewelry missing, worth approximately $10,000. And that's good old Florida man for you. Couldn't even wait till he got out of the view of cameras and started celebrating. So warrants have now been issued, and he is facing charges including dealing in stolen property, false information to a pawn broker, and third-degree grand theft. So there you go.
Not surprised.
Nope, not at all. And you too, Lisa, can be your very own Florida woman now.
I can, hopefully on the good side of the law. Hopefully.
All right. Of course, we'll get to that towards the end of the show when I ask you if you want to do a Florida man story or a random question. All right. And as I slowly try to slide the fader down so that the music goes out. Multitasking great here. All right, there we go. All right, so Lisa, people remember you for many things. You did have your own business where you were doing tech support up in Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Minnesota. And then you started doing the Call That Girl, and you transformed that into the Office 365 genre, where you have stayed for many, many years.
Many years. It's been since 2013.
All right. So yeah. I know that, you know, you move a lot, like every 2 to 3 years, and then you do some sort of wrinkle in the business. So let me ask right now, here and now, what is the status of your business?
Okay, so Call That Girl is 14 years old. I did start in Minneapolis. I'm ending in Florida. Right now, I am only doing Outlook expert work, which is what I use that term. So I stopped supporting residential clients.
Oh.
Some sneak in, but you know why? Is because they're past client. So I've been trying to say no to the new residential clients, right, and I have a referral person.
Okay.
I have a referral team of people I use for a lot of things now, so it's real nice. But I've been, scooting out of res, moving into biz only, and I've been working on getting projects more like big, like, you know, 4 to 8 hour jobs of reworking contacts, Gmail. You know, I took a Gmail job today, 178 gigs. Hey, wow, it's a lot of work, you know, in a Gmail, not Google. Not Google Workspace, Gmail.
Okay.
Which will never fit in Outlook. So that's going to be a lot of hours of reconfiguring it, you know, and moving data around. But I've been trying to work on the project. So my prices went up quite a bit this year. I have, I'm at, not at the top, but I'm close. I'm at $225 an hour. And that's, I'm getting it. And then I have a 2-hour ticket for $399. So I just tell people, you're going to need the 2-hour ticket. So most of my sales are $400 about then.
Okay.
It's been nice. But, you know, as I was telling you before the show, a couple weeks ago, I said, I'm not working as much. So it's kind of weird. Like, I've learned what MSPs love, which is, you know, work less model and earn with the reoccurring. Well, I don't have that. But I just have the, I'm only working like 8 to 10 hours a week now. But I'm financially fine. So I'm like, I have a choice. If I want to work more, I lower my rate because I'll get more calls. Or should I just do something else?
All right. So when we last spoke, you were still doing migrations. So are you doing those, and are you still tied? Can we talk about AppRiver?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're in a good place.
Okay. Okay.
They're not my sponsor or anything, but we are partners and I work with them every single day still.
All right. Mm-hmm. Ever since the Zix acquisition, have been dicey. They got rid of my sunshine.
Well, she's not for everyone.
And she wasn't for you.
She wasn't for me.
She was fine.
We tried though.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. All right. So back to migrations. Are you still doing them at all, or did you hand those off? What happened?
No. So I have a set amount that I do with AppRiver. It's called White Glove. I don't want to promote it too much because they don't do it for anybody else.
You shouldn't have said it.
I know. Oh, well. Anyway, they might do it for you. It's just basically they do everything, and I do the onboarding, and I become the coach of the migration, kind of. I make sure everything's happening. They do it. They don't do it for that many users because most of my clients are under 20. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have any big migrations. So that's what they've been handling. And then I set up a ticket. So then I do the aftercare and kind of the same stuff I've been doing. I just decided to kind of say to them, look, this is how I keep my sales up. I want, you know, I have to keep sales with you guys. So they had to kind of, I knuckled them into it.
You strong-armed AppRiver.
I did. Well, I've actually been with them a long time, like since 2013 or 12, even maybe. So we're kind of there together. Everything's going good, though. I do a few migrations a month, and some I do by myself still, but very rarely. Mm-hmm. I don't really do many without them now because there's always some problem, you know.
Always.
But Yeah, but I still do a few here and there, and a lot of my stuff is project work mostly now, which is good.
Well, I know that on the videos that you just started up in the last couple of weeks, I know that one of them you spent, I forget the guy's name, Neil something.
Yeah, Neil.
You talked a lot about, you know, DKIM and DMARC and all of that. So are you finding a lot of issues with people just not setting up their exchange properly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that comes from a lot of different points. A lot of them, you know, the businesses that are still getting into 365 are using old servers, and they're still using some old ISPs and just really things that were broken. So they have to move off it for whatever reason. But I still get the random calls, and I do best effort. And once I'm like, you know what, this needs to go to Neil, I send him his way, because he's really the guy. If anybody didn't check it out, you can go see it on my YouTube. But he gets, you know, he knows what he's doing with that stuff. I'm fine with giving him the work.
All right.
Yeah, DMARC, DKIM. I do some SPF, but I just don't know how to do it all, and I don't know how to fix it, so it ain't my thing to do that.
All right. So most of your stuff is the troubleshooting, helping the user, and all that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, I do mostly all Outlook. But so a few years ago, I decided to become a OneDrive expert in Google.
Oh, how'd that go?
Well, I'm still on Google as a OneDrive expert, so I get a lot of work.
Okay.
With OneDrive. And the nice thing is that I know how to fix it so fast now. And I know, here's the thing, I know all the steps to manage the expectations and how to back it up and do all that. So I can sell a OneDrive fix really quickly, because people have, oh, I've called Microsoft and this is messed up and da, 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 da. And so I created that onboarding list last year, and it's been really helpful. I'll put it if anybody wants it.
I was going to say, are you handing that out to people? Yeah. Are you selling it? What's the deal?
No, it's on my website. I can put it in the show notes when we're done, but it is a really good onboarding list if you're doing break fix. Not if you're doing MSP, because you have your own onboarding for that. But if you're taking a call from a random new client, these steps here help you figure out exactly where there's problems. And it took me about a year to get this perfect, because I kept finding new problems, like, oh, I didn't know this and I didn't know that. Now I just go through it. In fact, I don't even look at it anymore. I know it so well.
Right.
In my head. Yeah. But it's worth looking at. And I have a video on YouTube about that as well. It's called the my onboarding form. And I explain each step of why you need to check those things.
So here's the question. You put this stuff out on YouTube. Now, is your target end users, businesses, well, you said businesses, or other techs who are looking for help?
I don't know. I get a lot of work from YouTube, though.
Well, I was going to ask. I know that, yeah. But like, what's your percentage of, you know, businesses versus other techs or MSPs or companies that just don't want to deal with Office 365, which is what I titled it. Right. Just, you know, a lot of times we hear that and we're like, oh, I just, you know, when an end user calls me about an Outlook issue, I'm like, I don't want to deal with that.
I know. Well, here's the thing is that Outlook has become so complicated that I even still get wrapped up in something new, a new error, you know? So when people tend to call me, it's because they've been working on it for a few days, they're stuck, and they really have to fix it. So my clients are the client. I get techs that call me from like people that know me or whatever. I get MSPs. They call me more than anybody else because they are under the gun with the contract of the client, you know, and they are the best to work with in terms of, I don't have to work with the client because they understand it. They just want direction. Like, they're like, just tell us what to do, Lisa. So I give them the how to's and they do it. It's very rare I work with their clients. They like just having me there. And then, I get a lot of people just randomly on YouTube that watch it because they're Googling something and they found my video. So I get emails thanking me sometimes. Sometimes I get donation jar tips, Starbucks cards, things like that. So I market to kind of anybody that uses Outlook.
All right. So yeah. So if a customer called you up and says, so you know that name list that pops up when I start typing?
current error that everybody's talking about?
It used to show up this way and the names would go down, but now it shows up in reverse and I can't see it. Do you know how to change that?
Yes. So if you were a client calling me, I would, of course, that's how I say it to everybody, is, you know what? I don't know how long it'll take to fix. Here's my hourly rate. It could go over an hour. Here's my 2-hour rate. Do you want to book an appointment?
Boom.
I don't tell them anything anymore. I give no freebies. Good. Except when I want to be generous. The generous Lisa is gone.
What happened?
You know what, Marv?
What happened, baby?
I left a lot of Facebook groups because I was getting bombarded with messages and people weren't thankful. And I said, no more. No more freebies. I say, sometimes I'm nice and I'll say, that was such an easy one. Go give me a donation in the tip jar. And people are thrilled for the answer over the phone. So,
okay. So are you leaving the groups because of that or people, not being happy? Or, I almost put a picture of you with the Trump hat on.
You should have. I'm all for it.
Because you don't separate.
Separate what?
Professional and personal. You'll mix it up.
My public Facebook is public, yep. And let me tell you that I actually put a lot of my Trump stuff private because of some work I did this fall. But now I'm leaking it out again because it's kind of over, so I don't care anymore.
What kind of work?
Well,
government work? You were doing government work?
No.
Campaigning? Campaigning?
No.
Were you on the trail?
No, but I did want to volunteer down here, but I couldn't find any good places. I know, and they actually call my county Trump County.
Yeah.
They do.
That side is, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and it's actually Trump County, Trump Radio, too. We have a whole radio station. It's pretty something else.
I never knew that. I don't listen to Southwest Florida. Well, I listen to country. I just don't listen to I have my own. I listen to podcasts when I'm in the car, so I don't have to switch stations.
Well, I'm never in the car. I literally put on 5 miles a week, if I'm lucky.
All right. So let's bring this show back on the road here.
Okay.
All right. So Facebook groups, you've been switching out. Now you're running a Facebook group.
So last year I dropped out of a ton of Facebook groups just because it was just not a good use of my time, And so I really felt kind of like, okay, I'm only going to run the two. So one I own, which is the 365 group, which is really good. It is no sponsor, no ads, just text help and text. And they're all around the world. And we've got a lot of Microsoft employees in there that know what they're doing. So they kind of like, I like to tag them. That's what I do. If I feel that they would be helpful.
Did they just,
which I don't like tagging.
Did they just join or did you ask them to be in there? Are they moderators? What's the deal?
They just jumped in. We get a lot of Microsoft people that I think they kind of lurk, kind of like that Experts Exchange page, Have you ever heard of that?
I stopped going to that a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, I still go there, but it's just to keep my skills up. But they just kind of poke in and like to see what's going on. I don't even know who they are, they're trolling. But then I go and troll them on LinkedIn. I go and snoop on them back, and then I'm like, oh, they're Microsoft. So then I connect them on LinkedIn with me.
Okay.
Yeah, snooping. But again, the other Facebook group is the IT MSP talk and discussion, and it's no sponsors either. It's really kind of slow moving, but I like to post business stuff in there sometimes, and other people post too. It's just not an exciting Facebook group,
Right.
Real busy. But that's okay. I've got other things I'm working on. I'm on LinkedIn like a lot more. LinkedIn's where the money is.
That's the new place.
Well, I've been on it, but I actually don't know if I can say this out loud yet, but I was approached by a very large company to do Ask an Expert. And it's sponsored by Microsoft. So they found me on LinkedIn.
Okay. Well, I'm not editing that. So if you weren't supposed to say
that's fine. I didn't say the name.
All right. Ask an Expert.
It's sponsored by Microsoft. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you are coming out of this slumber. I think you called it, what did you call it? The great pause of 2020?
Yes, it was. It was interesting.
Now, was that all COVID or were you just, because that was, yeah, that was right around the time you snuck into Florida.
Right.
So.
No, I didn't. Nothing had to do with COVID. It was crazy. It was kind of like I went through my own experience of the pandemic that had nothing to do with COVID or the shutdown. Okay. Like at all. Last June. So it was really busy for me.
Hang on a second. Is this going to get personal?
No.
Okay.
Do you want it to be?
I'm just asking. I want to be prepared. Which way to go? I need to know if I need to be. Well,
there might be a personal part. Okay. It's only for the viewers that need to know this, though. Okay?
All right. Okay.
So last April and May during shutdown, I was really busy. And I kind of was like, wow, I was not expecting it. But it was. Then June got slow. And I had a client. And she told me that she lost all her clients. Then I had another client that said she lost clients, and it was getting to be where I started talking to my clients more because we had time because, you know, we didn't, whatever, slower. And one told me that they were going through the great pause. And it was like, because it was slower, gave everybody time to reflect their work they're doing, what they love doing, what they hated. And a lot of people started new businesses or just found other side businesses to do or whatever. And, I took a lot of thought into that great pause because I was starting to feel a lot of emotions that I really wasn't sure. And a lot of it had to do with Microsoft and their errors last summer. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was so painful, Marvin. It was like every week there was a new error that would take a long time to fix. And then that's when we were all jumping in the groups trying to help each other.
Yep.
So it was insane. And this is the part I'm going to mention that's personal, is that I was going through menopause. And being 51 years old and dealing with this Microsoft, all these problems, it literally was crushing my soul to go to work every day. I didn't want to do it. I was ready to just take off, shut down part of the business, and it got real depressing. It was real hard on me.
Mm-hmm. So just, you know, to kind of say, so you were going through all this, talking to the customers. Mm-hmm. Were you like sharing this personally with customers? Oh,
some I was crying. Okay. I mean, let me just tell you guys, anybody that has a girlfriend or wife, be very gentle with them during menopause. Anytime I started crying. It was so unbelievable. I had to put people on mute and cry. I had to hang up and call them back and go bawl my eyes out. And it wasn't because of them all the time. It was the jobs were getting really challenging with the Microsoft problems. And I'd be like, you got to be kidding me. And I'd get so upset. So I finally had to learn how to deal with that. But that actually kind of all went away. But I had to figure out what I wanted to do with my work because I was like, am I going to be 60-some years old fixing Outlook still? I mean, I got 20 years of work left. What else do I want to do? So at some point I decided maybe I should start teaching Outlook and becoming a speaker and, you know, doing that kind of work. It's a little easier on me. So I hired a coach and, you know, I started writing down a list of everything I wanted to do in life with work I was good at.
Okay.
Social media was on there, business consulting. I had a list of about 10 things, and on the list was speaking and training and also email investigation work, because that's what I do a lot of now. And I was like, God, I do love that, you know? So I worked with the coach and we were building up some stuff of, she was trying to train me on professional speaking. And then for some reason that email investigation kept coming up and I was getting a lot of work for it. And I was like, maybe it's the universe telling me to focus on it. And I got a client that actually owned an investigation company, and I did a lot of work for him, and I told him what I wanted to do. And he was like, you need to start that business, Lisa. So the speaking and coaching idea went out the door, and I started a new business called Agent 99. And that's what I've been working on since November. And I'm going to tell you that it's fun.
Okay. So it has been fun. Clarify for us what email investigation is. Is this where you're doing like forensic stuff for clients? Like I know for a lot of law firms, you know, mm-hmm. you know, their e-discovery, or they have to forensically capture, you know, somebody's mailbox and things like that. Is that what we're talking about? Or is there a different angle to it?
The angle that's different for me is I've already been getting hired for a lot of these jobs. So it's finding things in Outlook basically that are missing. Okay. Like one of my clients had to find one email to win a lawsuit. That's all he needed. And I found it. But you gotta remember that things can get buried in Outlook, PSTs, broken PSTs. Sometimes the OSTs get deleted. I have to go recover them from the hard drive. You know, so I call it email investigation because I'm basically finding something they need for their law case. So I've done a lot of this work. I've actually found employees who have stolen another company right under the company by spoofing emails and those kind of jobs. So I created the website and came up with a lot of ideas of things I could do and how to, you know, make how to create some services and what made me different than other maybe private eyes, you know, because I'm a tech and how I work. I spent like 4 months working on it and it's really nice. Like it.
So
but now I market it. It's hard.
So that's up and running. So
yeah,
you're still doing Call That Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing the Agent 99. Are you going to transition and just only do that? Or you? How do you think that's going to go?
Well, so as everybody knows that the marketing, because I love marketing, should be easy. It's not easy. And it's not even fun for me because I really don't know how to do marketing of a company like that. So I've been trying some new things. But eventually, my goal is to transition out of Call That Girl. But I don't know. I gotta let this brew up a bit, you know. I gotta see what happens. It's marketing is hard, and the thing is, I've already built a business, so I knew how to start one. But now I'm like, man, what do I do to get my name out there? You know.
Well, it's a new area. Although once you get in, this sounds to me, because I work with law firms.
Right.
Once you get in, they can spread your name pretty quickly for you.
Yeah. Well, there's a few people who are my targets. One is law firms, and the other one is private eyes, and the other one is sheriff's departments and police departments, people that do investigation, people that need me just for a few hours to remote in a computer and look for stuff. So I kind of have some hooks in there that are a little bit different than somebody else maybe. I'm always up for ideas if anybody knows of any. And it's been a lot of fun. The website is agent99.email. I took the dot email as a little swing off the email investigator, and I also used a GoDaddy website builder, which I swore I never would do, and I loved it.
Really?
Sexy site. Oh, you know what? I actually loved putting it together. I was like, this was so fun.
All right, I'm going to go to that because, let's see. So agent99, right?
Yeah.
Dot email.
Yeah.
And boom. Oh, look at that with the CSI crime tape.
I love it. It's so great. Well, actually, the whole site has had a few changes, but it's been fun. But, you know, for those that don't know, I actually have 2 degrees in law enforcement. I just never used them. I stayed in tech. I know.
Law enforcement.
Yeah, law enforcement and corrections.
Criminal justice type stuff?
Yes, I took both tracks, and the only thing I didn't finish with the law enforcement was the skills to become a police officer. But I did all the rest.
All right, so there is the page here, agent99.email.
Mm-hmm.
And look at that.
I know.
Email and Outlook. Investigations, forensics, recovery, repair, e-discovery. See, I said it, e-discovery. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, data recovery, email. Hey, so here's a question. So I had an attorney beg and plead with me to deal with one of their clients who thought that their email was compromised.
Okay.
Turned out it wasn't. It was basically... Okay. Crazy lady going through a custody battle with her kid, with her ex who wasn't her husband.
Right.
And they knew each other's passwords. So they were basically spying on each other and changing all the stuff. Long story short, they called me back because the organization that they have to mediate with, because it's the court sent them to this company and they have to mediate before they go back. Okay. So the girl doesn't want to use her email because she thinks it's compromised, but she can't change her email with this website until she logs in with the email. Long story short, just a mess. But family law court, have you run into anything yet to indicate that that might be one of those places where you're dealing with email discovery and stuff?
You know what? I haven't got one like that before. A lot of mine is basically partners breaking up or stealing from each other. And now,
where'd that picture come from?
Yeah. Look, which one?
On the site.
Oh, at the bottom? I can't see it.
Oh, because I'm not on the other
side. Oh, yeah. Do you want to know where that picture came from?
Okay. Yeah, that picture.
guess the year. It ain't current.
I don't know. What,
1985? No, we're not that old.
What'd you do? So, go to Olin Mills or something?
So, see that little heart at the bottom of it? That's from OK Cupid.
That's from what?
OK Cupid.
The dating site? Wait a minute. You got a heart from the dating site?
Okay, so this is funny. So that picture was taken at a women's networking event, like in 2012. Okay. And some guy was doing headshots. So he was like, hey, let's take one of you. And I was like, okay, I wasn't planning on it. Well, I kept it and I forgot I had it. And then one day in OkCupid, I needed a picture. Somehow I found that one. Get up there. Okay. And then when I did the Agent 99, I was like, I need a black and white picture. So I found that and I took it off OkCupid. And that little heart is not mine. It's from the site.
Oh, it's from the website. Okay. Yeah.
So it's kind of funny because I wanted to put up something like as a joke on OkCupid, like, you know, posed picture. But it actually looks good. I've had a lot of compliments. It's my LinkedIn picture now.
Okay, you got to crop that Cupid thing out. That ain't right.
I'm sorry to laugh, but it's so funny.
I was going to laugh at you, but...
I'm laughing at it. Don't worry.
Okay.
Oh, in my office I'm in right now.
There you go. Oh, look, there's the picture.
Yeah.
Oh, let me look at that. So there's your community. What is that, a carport or a road next to you?
No, that's a road.
Okay.
Yep.
Big screen TV, dual monitors. Yep. Are those, curved monitors. Look at you.
Oh, I know. HPs. Those are nice. That's what I'm looking at right now. Yeah. So the floor there is, let me tell you what soft floors are like in these homes down in Florida. They can, you can fall through them. And I had four holes. So now I have brand new gray flooring that cost a lot because lumber isn't cheap right now.
So they didn't put your house on a slab? They just stuck it on, did they even stick it on bricks or is it just on the land?
No. So here's what happens with these homes. These homes were built in the 70s with plywood. And because of the moisture down here, you can get soft spots in it. Mm-hmm. So it has to be replaced with real lumber, and real lumber is expensive right now.
Well, now it is, yeah.
Why? Why? Lumber yards are full.
COVID. Well, so here's the thing. So my brother-in-law does a bunch of stuff like that. And for instance, OSB board, which is, you know, basically the staple board for a lot of stuff, you know, before you put your drywall up and stuff, a lot of this stuff is OSB. Well, OSB isn't just like wood that they cut, you know, from a tree and then, you know, treat. It's actually glued together. Right now, there is a glue shortage.
What?
So all of that OSB board, like, tripled in price, they said.
Wow.
Actually, I haven't talked to him. This is what the wife told me. The wife just got back from Georgia the other day. So I got all of that stuff. And she brought father-in-law with her. And so I got all the good stories.
Wow. Well, right now I have a gray floor that's gorgeous. And I don't like wood floor, so I should have got carpet. But now I have a beautiful gray laminate wood.
Is that a carpet that you stuck on top of it? A little floor area rug? Picture?
You're talking about in the picture?
Yeah.
No, that's a rug. So get this. Underneath that orange rug in the picture is a gorilla floor thing from Amazon that's like sturdy to hold my weight because I was afraid of going through the floor.
A gorilla what?
You know that gorilla glue? Yeah. Well, they have gorilla floor mats that are really thick and durable. Yeah. Like you can't really. So I had to put that under my desk because it was scary. Okay. I'm going to tell you, Florida life. I'm learning the life down here. So
obviously you got a great deal on this place, right?
Yeah, it actually is. Well, not anymore. Guess what? All the houses are gone.
Well, yeah.
There's no houses here.
Everybody's moving to Florida.
Yeah, so I'm lucky I got in because I got it pretty cheap. And, I mean, no big deal. I just bought it and was like, I'm done with it now. And I just pay the monthly lot rent, whatever it is. And,
The landlord, well, not the landlord, our realtor who, so the wife is good friends with the realtor. And I always made jokes watching HGTV, those, you know, all those shows, House Hunters and all that. And they always have, you know, Property Brothers, and there's the realtor is always at the parties after they, you know, buy the house. And I'm thinking, no. So my wife, of course, is, you know, best friends with the realtor. So she was telling us just last week, our house that we bought 7 years ago is probably worth 150 grand more than when we purchased it.
Right. So then you're going to sell and come live with me over here?
Hell no.
Make a few bucks. Yeah.
No, I'm not moving. But here's the thing, though. Where do you go? Because everything is overpriced down here in Florida right now.
Right. Well, plus the housing market might stabilize in a year and then you're screwed. So, you know. So
listen, I just spent a ton of money redoing our pool deck and redoing rooms and pavers. We don't need to move now.
No.
As a matter of fact, well, they're done now. But so the wife and the father-in-law were painting our fence today. So because we replaced part of the fence. And so that's what they were doing.
Oh, and you can afford that fence with this lumber prices.
Well, we had a guy and he got us a great deal.
Right. My floors were $1,000. And I was like, you know, I'm trying to put a budget because this house, you know, the thing is once you buy it, you have to update stuff, right?
Of course.
So eventually something's going to go. So I figured I'd put a couple grand in a year and slowly make it nice, you know.
You got to get rid of that Charlie Brown, you know, plant in the corner and get something substantial.
What? Okay. So first of all, this whole room is getting redone. Okay. Whole thing. The floors are done. So now I got to do the walls, the ceiling fan, the windows. And it's going to look totally different here. Next time you have me, all will be gone.
Okay.
And my fake plant. I got new fake plants.
Don't get fake plants. Get real plants. Get real plants, water them every day, and don't let them die. That's what the wife told me before.
I kill a lot of stuff, you know that.
All right. So, okay, we have, are we done critiquing your?
My life?
Your trailer. House.
My trailer. Hey, you know what? I have a big poster in my kitchen about trailer trash because I'm fond of the trailer life, so I'm all about it.
You're gonna say I'm trailer trash.
I am.
Don't say that.
But you know what? If you guys could live in a place like this, though, it's all mostly retired people that have really nice stuff, and the houses are nice.
Okay, I don't know if I'd be advertising that.
Why?
You're living with retired people and you're going to say, hey, come live with me over in retired land. Come on.
No, but you know what? It's super nice here, but you know what? You were going to ask me about a Florida man story, right?
Yeah. You want to go ahead and do that now?
Yes, because it's a perfect segue into this.
All right, let's do it. Florida man.
There's this older gentleman that lived here and we get a lot of drifters. like they hang out on 41 and they just try to find people to take advantage of.
Wait a minute. So for people that don't know, 41 is called Tamiami Trail.
Yeah.
And that ain't a place where you want to be hanging out.
Oh, Marvin, it's super nice.
Well, now it is. Now it is.
It's super nice. Yeah. Tamiami Trail just takes forever to get anywhere because there's so many lights, but it's super nice. But every so often there's a drifter. And this poor guy that lives where I live had a drifter come live with him, and the drifter murdered him. So this whole time, though, the drifter played at the pool, went in the hot tub. I mean, it was
okay.
He was like part of the people that lived here.
It was a gentleman that you know.
No, I never met him.
Oh, I was going to say, is it that like in your park there, that's where this happened?
Yeah, so the guy that got murdered lived here. He brought a drifter in. The drifter made himself cozy and became like, you know, went down to the hot tub and the pool and then murdered him and took off. And they found him and he's in jail. So it was just kind of weird because, you know, it was like you just weren't expecting it. And
well, you could never expect murder.
No, you don't. But I was asking like people, I'm like, did you hang out with him at the hot tub? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, weird. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, but that's my Florida man story.
All right. Sounds like every other Florida man story. That's a perfect thing where the, you know, drifter comes in. That's a Lifetime story is what
kind
that
of
is.
Inside edition or something. I don't know. You know what? Every blue moon I see people walk by because I have the huge windows here. And I see people that shouldn't be here because, you know, like I'm judgy and I'm like, I don't know.
You need to cover up those windows is what you need to do.
I do at night.
Because you can see out and they can see in. Those aren't tinted windows as far as I can tell. You're going to do that? No. Are those impact windows?
No.
You need to do that.
I don't know.
Listen, hurricane and that place is gone.
I know. I'm hurricane prepping right now. I have my generator. I have my indoor air con. I've got food staples coming.
Indoor what?
Air con.
Okay.
Oh, I have a lanai that is sealed, and the windows are 75 mile an hour windproof.
Okay.
I'm hoping that's good enough. So. This summer's going to be warm, Marvin. There's going to be some storms.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of. I think they estimated 21 storms.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I bought the generator. I have 10 gallons of gas. My truck is prepped. I've got all the extra things if I need to take off. So this June, I'm buying all the food prep and all the little tchotchkes you need. And yeah, I'm prepping.
All right. What type of generator did you get?
Oh, man, let me go look on Amazon quick. It was nice. It was approved by my neighbor,
Is it like a portable, like a 5,000-watt generator?
Yeah, let me go look quick here.
Did you get it to where you can hook it up to your electrical panel, or is it separate?
No, I didn't do that. This one's a Duramax XP4400E. Oh. It's sexy, but it's blue.
Yeah, that's not... Okay, so you can't hook up a ton of stuff. You need a whole house. You need a whole house generator.
No, I don't. I did the math, and nobody here has those, really. Everybody has these. Because
the generator is more than the house.
Let's take something I can take with me and, you know, get this. So when I moved in May, I actually had to buy a brand new air conditioner, like, right away, and that was not cheap. So this will be fine. The indoor air conditioner was $350. I got my lanai set up with my second office and all my stuff, and I'm like ready. We'll see.
So have you got all your, you know, flashlights, got your portable radio, battery-powered radio?
On the list. It's for June. Yeah, I'll do it in June. I have a lot of things in May I didn't want to focus about.
June 1st starts the season, you know.
I know. Well, after we had that microburst, if anybody wants to see it, you can go to my Facebook page and scroll down a bit, and that microburst is on there publicly. It was scary.
And that was like, what, a 5-minute tornado?
Yes, but it was still scary. The carport of my neighbor went flying over to my other neighbor.
When do you experience a real hurricane? Actually, no, you weren't here during, you left. Were you here before or after Wilma?
No, I wasn't here during any of them. Okay.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yep. And the comment in the chat, the house would not be there if a storm hits.
My house has been through 5 or 6 big hurricanes, I think.
Okay, what's big? Not big Irma? In size.
Irma? Okay. This house hasn't moved since 1978.
Is that why there are holes in the floor?
Okay. I'm going to tell you guys all this, that everybody that lives here gets soft floors. It's the humidity. It's not from hurricanes. Those are on my Facebook too.
Okay, but that's, you got to upgrade your house.
I did. I got those new floors.
Get on a concrete slab and get CBS construction.
I don't know what any of that is, but you know what? My house is pretty good. It's been here since 78 and it hasn't flown away yet. So
All right. It's
made it through a lot of hurricanes. I've already been Googling it because I want to make sure.
All right. So first hurricane that threatens, we're going to do a hurricane show.
And guess where I'm coming? I'll come visit you over there.
No, you will not. We have a moratorium on visitors during the summer. Hurricane season.
No.
Nope.
Well, I was kind of hoping to find somebody north of Orlando.
Why?
Because that's far enough away.
No, it's not. Did you not see the storms that will cover the entire state?
Yeah, I have. But I figure it's better than down here.
All right. Yeah. All right, let's get back to tech, and we can talk about this in the post show. Okay. You're staying past 9, right?
I guess.
Okay. So let's do this. Let's start to end off the show. So you gave us a nice Florida man story, creepy, crimey story about a drifter that killed a neighbor. Nice.
Killed the neighbor. Put him in the closet. Weird.
But for those of you that want to utilize Lisa's new email investigation business, Agent 99. We'll have the link to her website, agent99.email. You can go there and do that. You can also continue to follow her for as long as she does the Call That Girl, her YouTube page, Call That Girl, Microsoft Outlook Expert, has some new videos. I think there were, 3 in the last week and a half?
Oh, and I've got a couple more coming out. And the next one is a good one. It's LinkedIn using the new connector with Microsoft apps in Outlook.
Oh.
It's cool. I'm doing a how-to on that one. And that might be my biggest video ever. Thinking.
Oh, the biggest. Is there going to be explosions in there or something? What are you talking about?
I don't know. You know what? I'm going to push it out on LinkedIn individually, not on YouTube, with hopes that people like to watch stuff on LinkedIn, not have to click on YouTube to get out of there.
Right.
We'll see. But, you know, I hate making the how-to videos. It takes forever.
Yeah, I don't do that stuff. So, all right, folks, I want to thank you for those of you that were watching live. I hope you enjoyed the show. Those of you listening by audio, if you want to see the video and the picture of Lisa's floor and Charlie Brown plant, you can head over to podnutspro.com and check out the link there. Poke around on the site, look at some of the other past shows that we have. I think I've got 50 of the last shows on there. And if they have a video, you can see the link there. And then head over to Amazon or the donate page or
give them money.
Yeah. Or click on any of the links for any of the guests that we have and help Lisa expand her Agent 99 business.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. And my podcast is up too. I've been putting that up as well.
Podcast, hey, check out the Facebook page.
Yeah, I'm still out there. I'm back, Marvin.
You're back. All right. She's back, and we are out. That is going to do it for this episode, folks. Catch us here every Wednesday, 8 p.m. And hope that you enjoyed the show. Hope we gave you something that would help you run your business better, smarter, and faster. We'll see you next week. And until then, holla.